Good evening, good morning, wherever you are. We'll scramble it all up a bit and welcome to another All About Windows Phone Insight podcast. It's all Windows Phone for the next 30 or so minutes. Myself, Ewan Spence, from the website that you probably are aware of from the title of the podcast, and joining me from there, fresh from his adventure in the Barcelona, Rafe, did you find the hotel room okay this year?
I found the hotel room absolutely fine, no problem. Had a Rafe great Lanford. Time.
We also, who didn't get to go to MWC, but we enjoyed the rush of press releases up here as well. I see. So we were attending digitally, weren't we? Steve Litchfield.
I was indeed. I had my hands rather full with something exciting happening with Symbian World, but let's not spoil the All About Windows Phone podcast.
Why would we spoil it? We're an open access podcast. Indeed. We will talk about other operating systems on here, which is good. David, how's Linux doing?
It's doing fine, thank you. I'm missing it.
Yeah, because you switched over to Windows 8 now, haven't you?
I decided not to do Windows 8. I think I'm going to wait until it's production. So I'm still on Windows 7, and it's still running very slow.
Right, okay. Of course, Windows 8 is out as a consumer preview, so there's a lot of people having a play around with the system and all of that. I don't think any, certainly I haven't, David hasn't. Steve, Rafe, either of you braved the new build of Windows on any of your consumer electronic devices?
I've only just moved to Windows 7. I'm behind the times, I'm sorry, but I am at least at Windows 7. I'm not back in Windows XP, which I was 2 months ago.
And Rafe, I'm guessing you've been too busy to deal with consumer previews.
Yeah, I've got a download going on, or had one going on at the weekend, and I'm going to stick it on an old laptop if I can. I did have a chance to have a go with someone else who had managed to download it during the madness of MWC, but of course it is pretty significant because that's introducing the Metro ideas to the kind of Windows 8 desktop, and obviously I think that has some important tie-ins with Windows Phone for obvious reasons, but also the idea that you'll get tablet devices, you know, Windows on ARM and tablet devices. So that's rather going to be a triumvirate of devices from phone to tablet to PC. And I think the synergies that come with that, to use a long complicated word that really just means the shared resources and the shared ideas and knowledge between them, will have a pretty significant impact on Windows Phone in the sort of later half of 2012 and obviously into 2013.
It is certainly one that we're going to be keeping an eye on here with half an eye throughout the rest of the year on about Windows Phone. Of course, at some point, it's all going to tie together to create one great big operating system. Then we'll have to make a ring and throw it into lava or something. But until then, we're watching more building blocks come through. One of the ones to come out was we finally have Skype officially available on Windows Phone. Now there are some considerations there, apart from the fact that I've said now four times in a row. It is a beta, and there are some issues about background running. Rafe, let's be honest, it doesn't do background running, does it?
No, it doesn't. I think this is kind of an artifact of the fact they've got it running, but really haven't perfected it. And they were quite plain when they said there will be improved integration coming later on. I think we'll wait for the next version of Windows Phone before we really see that. Nonetheless, you know, the beta version, it does work. You can do the calling and the video calling if you've got a front-facing camera on your device. You know, the IM works well enough. So yes, it's been a long time coming. And the reason it's perhaps later than people were expecting is, of course, Microsoft acquired Skype. And when something like that happens, there's effectively a six-month block on anything happens. So one set of developers can't talk to the other set. So I think that's probably why it's a little behind what Gerbo Fiori originally said. I think last year he was predicting an autumn release, and now we're probably 4 months behind that, which I think can be explained by the acquisition. In all honesty, I think at the moment it serves as an app, and you can make a decision to go and use it, but it will become really into its own once it's fully integrated into the platform, and it's pretty obvious to see where that can sit in the People Hub and in the messaging applications.
And it's also worth pointing out that a lot of people have been going, you know, where is Skype? MWC was such a big opportunity. They had to have something there rather than, again, oh, it's coming soon, it's coming soon. They had to go, here it is, and bite the bullet on some of these issues. And I think I think they've made the right call on that one. And we will, of course, see a more advanced one coming up. And again, we have to remember the Windows Phone footprint is not that large comparatively. You know, most people who've got one of these handsets will still consider themselves early adopters, I think. I think we're only now getting into sort of public getting at it. So when the update comes around in, you know, April or May, then I think it's going to be in a good position.
Yes, it's worth saying that the update is just a move to a final release, and it will obviously still have some of the limitations I was just talking about there. But you're right, it was probably the right call to actually get this released so that, you know, the Skype box could be checked as far as the Windows Phone platform is concerned. And I'm sure the sort of 10 million or so Windows Phone users out there are very happy to see it. I think from a stretchy point of view, in terms of, you know, when you really start using it, you know, the potential to take over from cellular communication services, you know, with the full integration, yeah, that's going to have to wait. And so in that sense, I was perhaps a little bit disappointed by the limitations that are in place at the moment.
It is a building case. We will keep you up to date with all of the news in Skype and everything else, probably in our flow section back on the website, all about windowsphone.com. Other things that have popped up, and it's big enough to move away from flow and into the news section. Steve, I know you've been keeping an eye on Nokia's mapping since before there was Nokia mapping, given that you did your own software yourself many, many years ago. Nokia Transport is the next sort of tool that fits into this toolbox of navigation that's coming up on our Windows phones now.
Yes, it's very much in beta, though. It's actually distributed at the moment via the Windows Phone Marketplace, but you have to get there via a predisposed link, or in my case, via a QR code via Nokia Beta Labs, which you can look up by Google, or via our show notes. You basically go into Bing search and use the little eye icon, grab the QR code, and there, hey presto, there's Nokia Transport appearing on the phone in the Windows Marketplace. Basically, it says 512 cities across the world, spread across 46 countries, which sounds a lot, but in actual fact is rather poor. In case you happen to not live in one of those cities, you're basically stuffed. But we had to play, David and I, with some journeys around London, and it seems to do pretty well at basically predicting and giving you, looking up the timetables and the schedules for underground and other trains, so you can basically say get from London Paddington to Oxford Street, and say you walk for 2 minutes, you take this tube, change at that station, and then walk 3 more minutes at the end, that sort of thing. And it shows you in a really rather wonderful metro side-to-side interface, and you can basically bump the journey and say, no, I'm not quite ready to go yet, I want to go in 10 minutes time. You just slide to one side and it gives you the later journeys again. You pick the one you want, and if you have any doubts when you get there as to which direction to go in, you can then tap on the little man and it deep links it through to Nokia Maps, and it basically shows you the walking directions to your destination. So all rather wonderful, but all very beta-ish, and it definitely needs more coverage. David, did you want to comment on this? You were the one who wrote the news story.
Yeah, just to back up what you were saying on the coverage, yes, in the UK, it so far only covers London. So if you don't live there, which is most of us, you are out of luck. However, I was really, really impressed with this, and it was one of those rare happy moments when you look at an app and you just think, wow, it's really doing what apps should do. It's gathering together all sorts of information and putting it into an easy to glance at interface, just so you know what you're doing in the next half hour or so. Really good.
Yes, I'm also a fan of this application. I've used it on the Symbian device, and actually it's pretty much exactly the same implementation. In terms of coverage, it's just worth pointing out there's two factors here. There's the kind of countries, or sorry, I should say the cities, with time level information. That's about 40 cities that are listed on the Nokia site should you want them. But there's another 100 or so cities that have just the routing information, so it won't tell you when the next available train or bus or whatever it is coming along. The thing that caught my attention, kind of the plus point over a lot of these transport applications, aside from having so many cities in one application, which is great, it also links into Nokia Maps to give you the directions from wherever you are to the nearest tube station, bus stop, whatever it happens to be. And to my mind, that kind of multimodal element, you know, both the walking, then the public transport, and then, if necessary, walking at the other end, is a real boon, because it kind of is the complete solution. And coverage is obviously, you know, improved. I spoke to Nokia about this, and they said they're working all the time to get more data, but obviously they are somewhat dependent on having the information available from the various transport authorities. But obviously, with the backing of Navtec, where a lot of this data is actually coming from, or rather, I should say now, it's not so much Navtec as the Nokia Maps and Location department, that I think will improve over time. and said, I've used this regularly in London on the Symbian version. I used the Windows Phone version when I was in Barcelona. And it is kind of an aha moment, as David said. You know, we traditionally think of maps and location as being car or walking. But when you start to add in these other components, and I think City Lens, which is another thing that was being demoed at MWC as it was at CES and will also be out in a few weeks, you can begin to see the real benefits of having rich location applications on your phone. And obviously this is exclusive to Nokia's Lumia handsets, and so will be one more reason why you might buy this as opposed to another Windows Phone device.
And the other thing with being in a beta stage, when we were testing it, it actually wasn't covering London buses, which just reminded me of something else I wanted to mention, because obviously, as Rafe was just saying, this is a differentiator for Nokia. If you don't have a Nokia Windows Phone device, you've got Samsung or HTC, you're not completely out of luck, because there is an alternative application, but it's just for buses, and it's actually something I mentioned as an app of the week a few weeks ago, which was Next Bus UK, and that just takes your location and tells you what local bus routes are available and how long they're going to be, and that works really well. I've used that in the real world, and that's another one of the aha app moments that I've been having lately, especially on the Windows Phone platform, I should say.
And there's nothing wrong with little moments of serendipity and discovery like that. It's true of any mobile platform. I also think that the Windows Phone has a slightly lower bar. It's just we don't expect it to do all of that yet. So when it does, we're all pleasantly surprised. David, you've been busy chap this week, Nokia reading, which I can't work out if it's a verb or a noun or an adverb or some other strange thing that Steve will tell me is a grammar point. But tell us about Nokia reading, which also came out this week.
Okay, Nokia Reading. It's there's two sides to Nokia Reading. On the first side, there's sort of an e-commerce side to it, because Nokia have teamed up with two major publishers, Pearson and Penguin and Hachette, through those you'll be able to buy ebooks and audiobooks on your Nokia Lumia devices, and also they've added in it's kind of an RSS feed reading app called MyStream, and it's going to be very much like, say, Flipboard on the iPad or Weave on Windows Phone. And it has curated categories of news, and it will try and learn what you're interested in. But you can also add your own RSS URLs so you can read specific content as well. So it might be something for people to look at if they want to get away from Google Reader, perhaps. And that's all there really is to say about it at the moment, because we haven't been able to test it. However, Rafe, you were at MWC, so did you actually get to play with a pre-release version of this?
I did indeed, and actually, for me personally, this was probably the most exciting software announcement, because I'm a big fan of ebooks. I've got a Kindle, use the Kindle app regularly on Windows Phone, so I was excited to see what Nokia could bring to the table. You've summarised the press release very nicely there, so I don't really need to go into that again. But just to give people an extra bit of detail, what they're actually doing is, as you say, there's two components. You'll get the ebook version first. That should launch in the coming months. That's kind of the Nokia standard phrase. I suspect that means we'll probably see it maybe the end of March, but probably more likely in April. And then there'll be a second later update that will actually bring in the news flow that you were talking about. And that's kind of, as you say, Flipboard, or effectively an RSS reading application. So I'll talk about those two components separately. Nokia Reading is going to premiere on the Lumia 900, really, because it works best on the bigger screen devices, but it will be available for all of Nokia's Windows Phone Lumia devices. And again, this is a Nokia exclusive application. So it's again how Nokia is attempting to differentiate from the other handset manufacturers. There's going to be a launch in Europe first, but obviously, as with all of these Nokia products, they're going to attempt to roll this out to other markets. But books in particular are quite tricky, because they are licensed on a market by market basis. And what Nokia have done, they've gone to kind of the leading ebook aggregators in each market. So this is aside from the publishers you mentioned earlier. So they've got some pretty big catalogues on here. In fact, it will be comparable with what you see on the other ebook platforms, be that something like the Kindle or the Nook or the Kobo Reader. There's various ones depending which market you're in, and certainly there should be hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of books. In terms of the technology, it's actually using the Adobe ebook DRM and associated software to do the kind of the handling of the content and the digital rights management. The application itself works very nicely indeed. It's kind of as you'd expect from an ebook reading application, really. You've got the panorama, which is the front where you can access My Library, but also the bookstore. And the bookstore itself is kind of interesting because Nokia say what they're going to do is have a human edited list on the front page for each country. But then you can dive into kind of list by category. And those categories can be what you might expect from books, but also some, again, some human editing. So there'll be quick read things that are maybe, you know, just equivalent of a novella or even a long article. Then they'll, for the UK, for example, they're bringing in the Sunday Times bestseller list, and those are going to be one of the options you can view. So this strategy of Nokia doing global, local, local, global is going to apply very much to this ebook content. And when I had a play with it, that seemed to work quite well. You know, the discovery of ebook content is one of those areas that's quite complex on ebook readers, because obviously it's not as easy as wandering into a bookshop and flicking through books. But I think Nokia may be onto something here. And certainly, of course, it's the idea that it's available out of the box and it'll be, you know, pinned to the home screen. So very accessible, very easy to get started and using. So I was pretty impressed by that. In terms of the reading experience, it's a simple swipe to move from page to page. You can set it into night mode, so all you AMOLED fans will be pleased to know you can have a black background, sort of just off-white text, which is probably easiest when you're reading in slightly low light conditions, but you can also have it white on black. You can change the font size and all that kind of thing, you know, jump through it with ebooks. There are some improvements due in later versions for things like dictionary lookup and making notes. They won't be in the first version. It's, in one sense, a relatively simple reading experience. So that's the kind of the ebook side. I was pretty impressed by that, and actually I'm looking forward to trying this out. If you've got a kind of a Kindle or a Kindle subscription, or you use that regularly, you may not want to switch over. But then, as I said, I think this is perhaps aimed at people who want the ease of use thing. In terms of the news side thing, this is all done using media RSS. So it's a combination of images and the text from RSS feeds. You can sort of optimize the feed so it looks good. And it's kind of a magazine format. So the software intelligently picks out images and then sort of splices it into a magazine format. So it's really quite attractive, you know, very similar as David suggested to what Flipboard and various other aggregators do. Actually, Newsflow on the Windows Phone devices is a little bit like this. There's a couple of RSS readers that do something similar. There's an existing catalogue that you can choose from, so, you know, pre-selected feeds, but you can also search through a feed database to pick out the one you want, or indeed add one through an entirely manual process. It works very well. I think this kind of news reading experience is something that's, you know, quite common on mobile devices as well. And for me, the significance is, you know, it's out of the box, it's sitting on the home screen, people don't have to install anything, it's all set up and very easy to use. So I'm going to be writing an article with a bit more detail on Nokia Reading, but for me this was a real highlight, and you know, I thought for a long time that Nokia should do something in this space, so I'm very glad to see them kind of moving in this direction.
It was interesting to hear your description of the application. I was curious how it would compare to other reading applications. Just a couple of questions. Did we have anything to say about the pricing of books, how it would compare to, say, like Amazon and Google? And what happens if you move away from Nokia phones? Do you lose your purchases, or is there going to be another way you can read them without having a Lumia device?
Two great questions there, David. Talking about portability, I was told you'd be able to have this on 6 different devices. Now, I think they were talking about Lumia devices there. I don't know what the situation will be if you transfer off to a non-Lumia device, but I think it's pretty obvious that there will be implications for future Nokia devices, perhaps around tablets for this kind of technology, maybe a web version. As I say, it's using this Adobe formatting. Until we actually see it in the wild, I'm not sure we'll be able to answer that particular question, but I was at least glad to see it's not restricted to one particular device and everything's stored in the cloud. So if you lose your device, you can download it again, and off you go. On pricing, because they're using these generic aggregators, the pricing is going to be the same as kind of the competing systems. If anyone who's used ebooks will know, that's pretty standard pricing, and it's generally set by the publisher. Where it's possible to give discounts, they will be giving discounts, or a couple of examples of that. The same applies to the audiobook side, and actually the audiobook side is one area where Nokia Reading's arguably ahead of its competition, partly because obviously on a full mobile phone you can create a richer experience. But keeping an eye on the audiobook thing, because I think that's a particularly good offering that I haven't really seen replicated on the other ebook platforms. So one to watch out for. So yes, you know, it feels like a pretty full experience to me. We'll have to wait until it's actually out before we can make any final judgments on that, though. But one interesting bit of trivia that I'm sure Ewan will like. I was kind of wondering about the catalogue size and how big it was. I searched for various books that I'd been reading recently, found all of them. So I would suggest it's certainly in the hundreds of thousands, if not towards the million mark, including a book by our own Mr. Ewan Spence, who wrote a book about OPL development. This was back on days of Symbian devices a long time ago, and that popped up in the catalogue. So should you want to, you can read about rapid application development using OPL on your Nokia Lumia device.
Although technically speaking, and I have the contract here, they don't have the electronic rights for that book. I retained them. I believe while you've just dropped that in automatically, not read through the small print. Yes, if you really want to program an old device and an out-of-date stuff and break my contract, then feel free. And they still have quite a bit of the advance to recover before I actually see anything from that. Let's go right up modern. Let's go actually a couple of steps into the future, because MWC is not just about the software and the tweaks. There's hardware as well. Rafe, we're going to be talking about these devices a lot in the future. So let's just take the highlights on these ones. And can I start with the ZTE? Because I'm intrigued by the ZTE Orbit. Initially, I thought that Microsoft were just making sure that Nokia didn't have it all their own way with these low-priced handsets. But that Orbit, especially when you consider it for the Chinese market, is one of the most intriguingly placed Windows phones this year.
It is, especially on paper. You look at the pricing of it, it's probably likely to undercut the Nokia Lumia 610. It's got a 4-inch screen. In terms of the sort of bits and pieces in there, it's pretty standard. It is obviously using this lower cost or lower specified version of Windows Phone 7.5, which we'll talk about a bit more in a minute. Unfortunately, on paper, it looks okay. In person, it's less attractive, and I think I have to put this down to the fact that it was a prototype device, but it wasn't the best mobile phone I've ever used going to play with it on the stand. For example, the keys on the bottom, which are capacitive touch, were very slow to respond, and you had to hit them in exactly the right place, and it just felt a little bit, I don't know, tacky as a device. It was just a little bit too big. The build quality wasn't quite there for me. It's actually the copy of another Android or a ZTE Android device, and it did show a little bit, I think, that it wasn't having the attention to detail that we've seen in some of the other Windows Phone devices. And you know, when you cut the cost down, that does have an impact, and it just, to me at least, seemed more noticeable on this ZTE Orbit than it did, say, on the ZTE Tanya, which I also had a chance to have a play with, which it impressed me a little bit more. That said, it's probably fair to say it's quite early on in its development, very early prototype, and it wasn't getting probably much love on the stand from the ZTE people. They were more interested in showing off their higher specified Android devices. So I think we'd have to wait a little bit on this one and see what the release devices are like.
And you've already mentioned the 610, which I suspect is the one that Nokia's hoping will do the volume.
Yes, I think that's a fair comment. I mean, if you'd said to me a year ago that Nokia would have, I think it's 195 euro, 185 euro Windows Phone device, I'd have laughed because I just didn't think it would get there that quickly. I expected it to be another 6 months. But what stood out for me about it was the experience of Windows Phone on that device, you know, from a surface glance at least, is pretty much identical to that of any of the other Lumia devices. You know, it has all the Nokia custom applications, Maps, Drive. It has, you know, it will have reading, it will have public transport, it has music, and it has mixed radio. There are some differences. We'll talk a little bit about what this cut down specification means to Windows 7.5 in a moment, but it was the design of the 610 that stood out for me. You know, the build quality was very good. It has these kind of shiny plastics around it, which I can see appealing to that part of the market. You know, it is effectively mid to low tier. It comes in a variety of colors, and the design feels a lot more refined than say the Lumia 710. It was, to me at least, quite obvious that it had 4 or 5 months of extra development work on it, where they were able to, you know, just file off some of the rough edges on the design. I mean, the 710 is a fine device, but it was kind of a reuse of an older Symbian hardware design in many ways. It's kind of the 603, but the Windows Phone version. And you know, the 610 at least feels like it's been designed from the ground up. And, you know, it's a return to the capacitive keys, which actually I think I prefer on devices like that. The screen's still pretty decent. You know, still got the same 5-megapixel camera in the back. But this is going to be particularly important in the BRIC markets. Yes, Brazil, Russia, India, China. And I think China is the most important of those. And that's really where these lower specified handsets were headed. Now, the interesting thing is we keep referring to them as lower specified. But as I said, it does to me feel like pretty much the same experience. So I think they're also going to do pretty well in the Western markets. You know, people are looking for a lower cost, you know, smartphone. At the moment, the choice is between some of the Symbian devices and the Android devices and then the BlackBerry devices. You know, Windows Phone hasn't really been in that space up until now. It's entirely possible to see this device getting to around the £100 mark on the prepay, the pay-as-you-go market. And that then is a very interesting dimension because people may be willing to pay a little bit more to get what they see as a phone that has, you know, better social integration, for example. And I think it's quite clear that Windows Phone leads there. And, you know, we talk sometimes about Windows Phone leaving a bit unfinished or there's functionality holes. And I think that's true, particularly for high-end users. For the mid-tier, it becomes, I think, far less of an issue because it does all the basic stuff very well. And in arguably, it's more a coherent whole. So for that market, I expect it to do really well. So I expect the 610 to very rapidly become the best-selling Windows Phone device, you know, because of the price and because of the targeting of it. And that makes it very important to both Nokia and Microsoft.
It's so important that we have a new version of the operating system. It's notable that Samsung, Asus, Acer, HTC have all said, look, yeah, we are going to be doing another Windows Phone at the end of the year to tie in with Windows 8, Windows Phone 8, whatever it's going to be called for. But this isn't an intermediate step. This seems like we need to do something for Nokia and to play to their strengths. Now, Rafe, it's the operating system upgrade that was formerly known as Tango, correct?
That's right. You know, it's been referred to as Tango in a lot of the leaks. And, you know, this inadvertently slipped out in various places from spokespeople. Also on the ZTE stand, they actually made direct reference to Tango. When I spoke to Microsoft, and actually it was Aaron Woodman, who I had a briefing with, he made it quite clear that this is not a new version of the platform. It's not something that should be seen as a different version. It was still Windows Phone 7.5, and that's how it should be referred to as, the only difference being that they'd lowered the specification requirements. Now, obviously, that did need quite a lot of optimizations, and I asked how that had been achieved. Partly that was a result of, you know, obviously tuning the applications and the platform itself, making things more efficient. But also, what in effect it does is it tweaks the behavior of memory management on the phone. So things like tombstoning of an application that's closing in the background will happen earlier than it would do on devices with the additional RAM. So, you know, by cutting the RAM, certain things do go. Now, there are actually some changes we should talk about specifically to the way things work. Applications can use less memory, which means a certain number of applications will not work on this lower resource devices. Now, they will be marked as such in the app marketplace, and developers can either choose to just exclude them from the 610, or they can choose to modify them. And in most cases, it should be fairly simple to modify them. Windows Phone developer and Nokia developer are both reaching out to developers to kind of make that happen. The estimate that it'll be about 1 in 20 or 5% of applications will be impacted in this way. The other dimension to this is there are some changes to background agents. This is how some of the appearance of multitasking is achieved on Windows Phone. Particularly things like background uploads of data. But there are, you know, also some things around background agents that set off a particular task. So some applications use these to do updates in the background, for example, updating an RSS feed or something like that. Those won't work on these devices, and so they have to look at doing it another way. One way to do this is through effectively push notifications, and actually that's how our own All About Windows Phone app works, so it won't be affected. The number of applications that affects is included in the 5% I mentioned earlier. In terms of background audio is still supported, so services like Spotify or the background playing of podcasts or music, that's unaffected. They will still continue to work on these devices. Talking to Aaron Woodman, that was clearly quite a significant engineering challenge because, you know, doing that kind of codec in the background is not a trivial processing task. And so it's good that that's there. And actually, I feel that's probably the most important one. So be aware there are some limitations, you know, with these lower specified devices. I actually feel I don't really think it has a major impact on the Windows Phone experience overall. I think it's sort of the power users that might notice, and these aren't going to be the people buying these devices. And that's very much because of the way Windows Phone works. It's kind of that core experience is around the, you know, what we've talked about before, the live tiles and then the jumping into applications, the way they're into that, you know, there's no changes there whatsoever. In terms of the genesis of this, yes, it was very much pushed by Nokia. Microsoft have sort of always knew they needed to get on the lower cost devices. And with Nokia, they had a partner who they're able to do that. But the interesting thing was they were very keen to stress how much input Nokia had, and basically saying we wouldn't have been able to achieve this without Nokia. Their insights into the way the lower management worked, you know, obviously that's from the hardware and the software side, but also the partnerships necessary to get into some of these other markets. And I mean, this is the other thing that was announced, additional marketplaces are going to be supported. That's mainly through Windows Phone Marketplace, but obviously that applies to some language support on the phone as well. There's still more work to do there. I think particularly there's still a weakness maybe in the Middle East in terms of language support. I think that will come in time. But I suppose the takeaway from this is we shouldn't really be referring to it as a operating system update or a new version. This is really, if you like, a refresh of Windows Phone 7.4, 7.5, I should say, not 0.4, to enable these lower cost devices. There are a few minor other updates which we've mentioned on the site. In terms of the existing devices, yes, some of them will obviously get this update in the course of normal software updates, and you can expect that to roll over in the next few months. But there's nothing major that will have a big, big impact either on device performance or functionality. As I say, actually, it's really about the way they're handling the memory. So it's putting in stuff that enables these devices with less memory and slower processors.
And can you sum up the 900 World Edition in a sentence?
In one sentence? No, but this is really the news that the Lumia 900 will be available globally, not just in the US and Canada, as we've previously heard. Obviously, this is a big deal because it's kind of the flagship Windows Phone device with the highest index. You know, there aren't that many differences in some ways between this and the 800, aside from the obvious screen. It does have a front-facing camera, and there are a couple of design tweaks. For example, the micro USB slot is no longer hidden under a flap. It's sort of flush at the top. There isn't quite such that 3D glass effect of it running into a smooth curve. I mean, there's a little bit of it there, but it doesn't feel quite as perfect as it does on the Lumia 800. I mean, that's kind of the price you pay, I guess, for the bigger screen. You actually officially get this in white now. The same polycarbonate body as the 800. Personally, I actually still prefer the matte colours, the cyan, the magenta, the black. A lot of people will like the white glossy finish. I'm not one of them. That's a very subjective thing, though. So there we go. I haven't managed to do this in even a paragraph. The other thing is the global edition obviously moves away from LTE because there aren't the deployments elsewhere for that to make sense. And instead, it's using a dual carrier HSDPA, which is just kind of the latest revision of the HSDPA spec, you know, slightly faster 3G speeds. This isn't really 4G. Some people might refer to it as that, e.g. some of the US operators are kind of taking that route. It's really still 3.5G, or I suppose you could refer to it as 3.75G. So yes, this was attracting a lot of attention at MWC as well. I think for all the obvious reasons, really, as I said, it is this flagship device. And I'm certainly looking forward to trying a bigger screen and getting all the Nokia experience on it. You know, Nokia Reading, as I mentioned earlier, will sort of premiere on it, if you will. If you've got an 800, unless you're particularly looking for a bigger screen or front-facing camera, it's a big deal to you. I don't see a big reason to upgrade. And I think, I mean, personally, I have quite small hands, so it'll be really interesting to see how I get on with using a bigger screen device regularly. That's something I'll make sure I talk about in any coverage we have of it. But we should have more on the Lumia 900 very shortly indeed.
Next time, we'll ask Greg for a paragraph. Okay, let's roll that up. We're running rapidly out of time. I know podcasts could go on forever and ever and ever. We like to try and keep it to around the half-hour mark. Lots to get off from MWC. Lots that we'll be able to bring back and talk about in later episodes. highlights and all of that from the world of Windows Phone, not just from Barcelona, can be found all about windowsphone.com. And we'll close off, as we always do, with our applications of the week. Round the panel, finding out what you've been using in the last 7 days or what you're about to. I'll start with this one. I was going to suggest that I've been using my chess clock application to see Rafe versus everybody else in the podcast, but I've not been paid this month yet. So American Airlines, I did mention this one briefly back in October, but heading over to South by Southwest. And so having the application that gives you live flight info, tracking, any changes, gates, baggage pickups, all of that in the handset. Absolutely wonderful. Just remember to switch over the SIM card in the air from my UK SIM to the US SIM so I don't get utterly, utterly destroyed on the cost of data. Steve, what have you been up to?
La!
And you're singing the entry for Cyprus.
Oh, mercy.
I'm using Accurate Tuner Pro, not actually to tune my voice, thankfully. You'll be very relieved to hear. To tune my guitar, I did a full review up on the site. Do look at Accurate Tuner Pro. Basically, it's everything you ever saw in every guitar tuner, or indeed instrument tuner generically, ever, all in one application. It is a commercial application, so do go play with it. But you can adjust everything. Right down to the temperaments, which is the way the musical notes are spaced out across an octave. You might think that's fixed. No, you can adjust it. So if you've got an older instrument which has a weird temperament, you can even tune that instrument. Basically, it's all singing, all dancing. I've only scratched the surface, even doing my review, and I'll keep coming back to it thinking, oh, that's cool. Oh, that's what does that do? And then going and looking it up on Wikipedia. So Accurate Tuner Pro, highly recommended.
There we go. Steve was once in a band, I believe the music is still up in MySpace for the Sheds.
I don't want to point people there. I'll put up my own page on my own good time. Thank you.
Yeah, if I'm going to get my old OPL bit come up, we can have the old Music of the Sheds coming up as well. David, any deep, dark secrets we're going to uncover with your application of the week?
Fortunately not, for my sake. No, my application of the week is a tool for freelancers. It's for a service which some people may have heard of. It's something I've just started using called FreshBooks, which is a cloud service that allows you to track expenses and invoices and actually automatically generate invoices for you to your clients. I've been waiting for a Windows Phone application to come along for this, and just as with buses, two came at once, although only one was any good in my view, and that was Reach for FreshBooks. And there's a free trial, but to buy it full is actually $4.99, so it's a little bit on the pricey side, but it'd be worth it if you're using it in a professional context. And it perfectly uses the Metro UI panorama mode, and you can swipe between browsing all of your clients and browsing through all of your invoices, and you can see which ones have been paid and which ones have not been paid and which ones have been viewed. And there's like timers so that if you're working on an hourly rate, you can just tap a button on your phone and it'll time what you're doing and it'll automatically add that to the next invoice for that client. And you can add any like ad hoc expenses you have. And all that goes into your cloud FreshBooks account on the cloud and it'll all be taken care of and bill your clients for you. So it's sort of very handy.
Indeed it is. Nearly got a bingo call there. Rafe, finish us off. What do you have for this week?
Last week in Barcelona, I was using TripAdvisor, and this has recently had an update, so it's got kind of metrofied, which is improvement over what it was before, which was effectively a port of the iPhone application. It's a kind of an easy way to find TripAdvisor recommended hotels, restaurants, and other attractions near you. I was using this because Bing Local Scout doesn't seem to work so well in some bits of continental Europe. And between this and Nokia Maps, I was able to kind of locate and find good restaurants for eating out in the evening. And I was also doing a small amount of sightseeing on the Saturday when I first arrived in Barcelona before. So the madness kicked off on Sunday to Thursday. It's been nicely done. And for anyone that's used TripAdvisor, yes, you have to take some of the reviews with a pinch of salt, but it's a quite useful way of kind of getting a very quick opinion on a nearby restaurant. So, you know, it was an app that I enjoyed using in the last week and helped me to a couple of great meals.
And that's us for the week. There's only one bit of important news. It's slightly outside the world of Windows Phone, but we'll come to that in a second. First of all, let's say thank you to all of you out there for listening. Thank you to my co-host, panelist, stars, super Linux stuntman star extraordinaire, David Gilson.
Thank you, Ewan, and talk to everyone next week.
Thank you also to lead singer Leather Trousers, and you should have seen the hair he had in the 80s, Steve Litchfield.
You should have seen the hair I had in the 70s. Goodbye, everyone.
And also thank you to the man who is just back from Barcelona and has bought himself a Siberian hamster, Rafe Blanford.
Not sure about the Siberian hamster, but I will take this opportunity to remind you to download the All About Windows Phone app, where you can listen to the podcast, but also very easily access the show notes and all the applications we mentioned. There's deep links into the marketplace. You can get that by searching for AAWP on the Windows Phone marketplace. But goodbye from me as well.
And don't think I didn't notice you sneakily mentioning it when we were talking about the operating system update that's formerly called Tango as well, right? That's twice in this podcast.
Yep. Tweet, tweet. Yeah. Dig, dig.
Yep. And it only makes me say that very important news, world-shattering news. Congratulations to Australian television network Foxtel, who are in the process of filming a prequel to Prisoner. My day is complete. I hope yours is too. I'm Ewan Spence. We'll catch you next week on the All About Windows Phone podcast.